Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Go routes to 15, go routes to 12, go routes to 13, crossing routes to 18, 16. I mean,
it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right. It is a Football Friday, as said, presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Clint, last night straight up was a beyond disappointing game on national TV. It's a memory that people will have of the Texans probably all season. And I think there is no better way to kick off this show than by what you said when you walked in the door today. Boy, it looked like one team had training camp and the other team didn't.
There is no doubt about it that when you watched that game last night, Frank Clark and Chris Jones, they were ready to play. Ramp up period, abbreviated training camp, no preseason games, hell with it. Frank Clark and Chris Jones were ready to play. J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus, nah, they weren't ready to play. You look, flip
the
coin.
What's going on with 59?
Hey, flip the coin, boss. Flip the coin. You look at Pat Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill had a touchdown. Travis Kelce had several catches and a touchdown.
Sammy Watkins was out there.
DeMarcus Robinson. I mean, he was out there making plays.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, obviously, you know, out there doing his thing. Looks like he ain't skipped a beat from college. Those guys look like they had been through training camp. And you look at Deshaun Watson, Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, all we've heard about is limited time at practice.
Limited time. Yep.
It looked like those guys had limited time at practice. And, show, this is a time where it's
– like, it was obvious to you as somebody who has played, who's gone through training camp, it was obvious to you, like, there is a complete difference in how those two teams
– You bet your ass. There was an obvious difference to me that one team had a physical training camp, one team showed up with, and I don't mean this negatively, but with all the distractions that have been over the COVID-19 and the social injustice and all the different things that have gone on off the field. Again, when I say distractions, I just mean non-football things. One team knew when they showed up to training camp how to do things in a championship fashion, and one team showed up and went through the motions is clearly what it looked like. Because I'm one going into games, show. I said, we heard Bradley Roby say things are going to be a little sloppy. You know, we've heard guys talk about no training camp is going to affect the season. And that's fine. But when one team, the defending Super Bowl champion, comes out and it doesn't appear that it affected them guys much,
they was ready to roll.
They were ready to rock and roll. I have a hard time going, well, the rest of the NFL gets a pass because they had to deal with all of these off-the-field things and COVID-19 and abbreviated camps. And so we'll just sweep their inability to tackle and their inability to be on the same page offensively and have good chemistry offensively. We'll just sweep that under the rug, man, because they didn't have that preseason. They didn't get that. They didn't get a normal – slate of preseason games. Hard to sell that to me when Kansas City comes out like gangbusters.
Now, if you don't believe that, here was offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy. Just listen to how he described potentially how they went about things in the offseason during training camp.
He's had an opportunity to get out there, work with the ones. Obviously, our training camps are tough. We want to make it tough just because of the way we practice. We practice with a high volume of reps. We practice at game speed. And on top of that, it's okay if he makes a mistake. But one thing that we do know, the kid has mentally and physically prepared himself for this point. But he does understand that, hey, when those lights turn on, it's time to go. And he'll be ready to go.
If you just listen to that, they're practicing at game speed. They are going hard. They're physical. And that's kind of the opposite of how we've heard. And you got to be honest, that goes to the decision of the coach, the decision of the person running the thing, and the decision that Bill O'Brien and how they decided to handle camp. You saw there was a different level of readiness to play, and that there goes on the coach.
Everybody had the same opportunity leading up to Thursday night's game. And one team came out, and clearly their superstars were ready to play ball. The defense forced Pat Mahomes and company to go 11 plays to score, no problem. Forced them to go 16 plays to score, no problem.
No mistakes.
No mistakes. On point. And one defense was flat getting after the quarterback and giving an offensive line problems. The other one wasn't. One of them, you can say David Johnson had a good game. Had a real good game for the first night as a Texan. But I wouldn't say that the Texans ran the ball at will against Kansas City. Flip the script. Kansas City ran the ball at will against the Houston Texans. And it's just one of those deals where I look at it, man, and it is blatantly obvious that one team went to work in training camp and showed up ready to play, and one team didn't.
And as I said, Clint Sterner in the show right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610, it appeared those two teams, the level of being ready to go, were completely different. And here is where I'm annoyed, Clint. We all know, and we just said it. We said it's on that part is on Bill O'Brien. That to me, the decision they made, I think they put health so far into the part of it, and instead they weren't ready physically to go and play the game the way that those guys were ready because they put health so much in front of things. And we understand. But Clint, see, man, it's not just Bill O'Brien with that. Did that team look like a team that just got their asses kicked in the playoffs last year, that when that exact team hit you with a 51-7 run and ended your season, did that look like a team that had to stew all offseason long to hear everybody talk about how they blew a 24-point lead and how the Chiefs are the best team and how much better they are and Patrick Mahomes is on this tier and Deshaun, you're on this tier? Did that look, when you watched that performance last night, Houston, did the Texans look like a team that had been pissed off all offseason and ready to go? Did they look like that team? Hell no. And that's not just on the coach. That's on the leadership and the players. One thing we've talked about is, man, what's up with that dog on this team? How in the hell are you coming out looking the way they did? Lackadaisical. Yeah. At the end of the third quarter was absolutely unacceptable from Deshaun Watson and the offense, and everybody else followed suit. That's the other part that's big to me is Bill has his part of it, but the players, how the hell do you come out there like that? I was thinking we might get somebody get a 15-yard penalty. They're so amped and ready. Nothing.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it that the level of passiveness with this team it reminded me of an NBA game. You know how all the guys in NBA now are buddy-buddy relative to what it used to be? You know, used to be they were throwing elbows and punches and it was a physical game. Last night to me just seemed like the Texans kind of just rolled into Arrowhead and we're going to be okay with whatever the result was. Never responded whatsoever to anything that the Kansas City Chiefs threw at them. And so, yeah, I look at it as it doesn't look to me like that was a team that was chomping at the bit for the opportunity to get back at Kansas City.
Right? Like,
it struck me as a team that had an abbreviated training camp, hadn't had a whole lot of live action, and was going to treat this game like a preseason game.
We talked
game.
To John Harris yesterday. He said they are tired of it. They are tired of hearing this.
Yep.
I saw Lonnie Johnson with the tweet yesterday before the game. We talked about it where he said, we're done doing our talking on the net. We're going to send a message. What was that, Lon? By the way, you were talking on the net, so you kind of did talk on the net when you said that. But what would, like, I was expecting to see, like it reminds me of, I was thinking this when we came in and was like, your senior year, when you got to play Tennessee again after the way it ended the year before, there's no way, as a quarterback, you're the leader of the team and that team, there's no way when y'all played Tennessee again, y'all came out like that yesterday.
No.
You circled that game on the schedule.
No question.
You may even know the date of it right now.
Look, there's no doubt about it. I mean, that game drove us, you know, for a year, for an entire offseason. And then it drove us to work even harder and even longer hours the week of the game leading up. And there's no doubt about it that the intensity was obvious in that particular game. The rise in intensity was obvious in that game. So I can't wrap my head around why the team would come out as flat as they did, other than simply saying they treated that game like a preseason game.
How can you treat that game like that against that opponent? From the text line, you can text in 713-572-4610, and we'll hear from you today, because this is a day they look passive as hell. They were not ready, period. Ah, that's the excuse BS today. Blame the players. We need to blame Bill O'Brien. We kicked off the show talking about Bill O'Brien. I'm just saying, yesterday, any of you listening, you played high school football, I think, or high school sports. There's been a game where you know the opponent. The coach ain't got to say nothing to you. The coach ain't got to give no pregame speech. Practice that week was a terror because everybody's locked in because of the opponent. And as Clint said, how in the world of any of the opponents on the schedule, how could the Chiefs be the team that you're walking out there treating it like a preseason game or treating it like it's just, how? Like, yes, it's on Bill O'Brien. His team played like that. He's the head coach. But damn. I ain't never seen players that have to get brought up in that scenario. They ended your season. Like, I just, that blew me away. I'm sorry. I don't get that, man. That's just crazy as hell to me.
Yeah, the mindset, man. I mean, the mindset was clearly different in Kansas City than it was in Houston. I mean, the mindset leading into this game was totally different. And it's unacceptable for the players. It's unacceptable for the coaching staff. Because, yeah, I mean, there's Bill O'Brien clearly has allowed it to happen. I mean, I don't – in hindsight, how do you go into a game with the expectations of scoring enough points to beat Kansas City, and you got Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller, guys that aren't even practicing? Like, how do you – in hindsight, looking back at that, like, how does that make sense when you're trying to create an identity on offense? Guys aren't even practicing. So not surprised that there was a lack of continuity, a lack of chemistry, a lack of togetherness on the offensive side of the football. But the overall just seemingly lack of interest and lack of effort across the board was
the last
surprising.
Thing lack of interest. When you say that, that's the last thing that I would have ever expected to have seen on that field from the Texans. All right, after watching that game last night, we got to discuss that this easily may be the most concerning thing, not just from last night's game, but moving forward the rest of the season from what we witnessed last night. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Have an aggressive mentality and be violent while doing it.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610, presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
Nothing like a little KOL, Kings of Leon, to get your boy going a little bit. 713-572-4610. I don't want to be selfish, man. This was the first game. That was,
boy, he lied early, didn't he?
That was
it took him 18 minutes to lie to us, Tyler.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to be selfish, my ass.
That was for a Texans fan, that was an embarrassing performance last night, right? And we talked about it. The biggest thing to me over anything, and this is a problem, and I've said that since I arrived here in this beautiful city, and that is the player leadership they need somebody that will get in somebody's ass in some form or fashion, somebody that's just not accepting of this. And the way you can blame Bill O'Brien all you want, and he deserves it, because ultimately at the end of it, a coach comes out there, his team looks the way it does, Clint, it falls on the coach. But I ain't seen sports where this was a game where Bill just has to go to the locker room and say, let's go. Because everybody knows what this whole entire offseason's been. Everybody knows. And from the top, you didn't get it. This is the leader of the team, right? You could argue this is Deshaun's team. Clint, they've made moves all offseason to make it Deshaun's team. And this is, just listen to Deshaun and how he sounds after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I was sharp. You know, I took what the defense gave me. They took away a lot of the deep shots and tried to give my guys, you know, some opportunities to make plays, and you know, and sometimes we capitalized and sometimes we didn't. So we just got to continue to grow from there. And I did what I needed to do to try to, you know, stay as close as possible and keep this team in the lead and reach to, you know, try to win the game.
The thing, I heard that last night on the post game show. Sean Pendergast and I did it right here on Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. And I'm listening, and the tone is what got me. And then I just heard it again, and the actual message behind it leaves me with a similar feeling. To me, that's the tone of a quarterback that didn't expect much from this game. Like, maybe there was, the expectations were, it's the first preseason game. Didn't expect to have a whole hell of a lot of success in the past game, putting points on the board. The tone in Deshaun Watson's voice right there, to me, it says a lot. I don't remember hearing that in his voice after a loss. I didn't expect to hear that tone in his voice or that message after. Literally, man, at one point, before they put them garbage points up at the end of the game, at one point in the last two football games, there was a stretch, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was a stretch where the Texans had been outscored 82-14. Right?
By this team.
Since they were up 24-0, start at that point in time in that Kansas City game until it was 31-7. They got outscored 82-14. And you lose the second game, and in the post-game presser, that's your tone? I did enough? You know,
I was sharp.
And the tone of just
– Will Fuller's missed touchdown pass wasn't sharp.
Well, just the whole – regardless of whose fault it was or whose fault it wasn't, the whole idea of getting skull drug again and realizing that your organization is that far behind the Super Bowl champion, the standard in this league, there should be something there that's got your blood boiling to the point of, that wasn't enough, we got to do better. And we got to do better starting on this flight home. We got film to study. We got conversations that need to be had. And we got to get better immediately.
And the annoying part about it is Deshaun's been a great leader his whole life.
Yeah, that's why.
That's shocking.
I'm not questioning his leadership. The tone is concerning to me because it's almost as if, like I said, the expectations were very low for this game. Like it was being treated like a preseason game. Like, no big deal. No big deal. It doesn't matter. I'm in a dogfight in front of all of the NFL fans and football fans across the country. And I'm going to slide over on the bench and just hang with Pat Mahomes and pat him on the leg and smile and hee-hee-ha-ha around the
guy the field. Who's got the crown that you're supposed to be getting. See, I will question it. And that's the part about it. He's been a great leader at Clemson here his whole life. And I may be. And then know this hard for me because you know how I feel about Deshaun. All right? Like, we're close in my mind. This is hard.
You're
this
fixing to ruin your popping bottles possibility.
And that's all right. If I got to, I have to. But I got to be honest. All right. I will question it. Like, that yesterday, you're the leader of the team. This is your team. They've positioned this to be your team. Your team can't come out like that. You can't come out with 25 seconds left on the clock in the third quarter. You're down 24-7, and you don't get a playoff. You're coming in like a daisical. Like, is it 24-7 Texans or are you down? I don't know. By the way, you're moving, and the rest of your team followed suit. You're the leader. You've got to do better than that. I'm not gonna lie. It felt real James Harden-esque. That's what it felt to me in big moments. It felt really James Harden-esque, and I'm shocked to say that about Deshaun. Now, can Deshaun get better with this? Yes, but man. Dude, you have the second biggest contract in the history of the sport. This is your fourth year. Playtime's over, Jack. I may be the only person in this city that will hold him accountable as the great, because I'm not going to disrespect the greatness of Deshaun Watson and give him passes that great players don't deserve. You're a great player. I'm looking at you. You're the one who's great on this team. And I'm looking at you. That's the way your team came out. I can't go with it. 713-572-4610. Larry, go ahead. I'll let you jump in on this.
Hey, guys.
Go ahead, Larry.
I'm with you 100% on this one. Deshaun Watson running over on the bench and everything else like that, what kind of examples that lead for the rest of the team that's kind of middling second class? My question is, do you think Michael Jordan, one of the greatest, would hang with Isaiah Thomas? Do you think J.J. Watt would go hang with DeMarcus Lawrence and all that? I mean, what a poor example. And that's why we don't have a killer instinct. And that's what bothers me the most.
Appreciate the call, Larry.
You said something that interests me, man. The lackadaisical, letting the clock run out in the third quarter and not being aware of the game clock. Maybe the play clock still had time on it, but the game clock was obviously ran out on you. That's a lack of awareness. That's not on Bill O'Brien. That's on Deshaun Watson. That's not on not having training camp. That's on Deshaun Watson.
Look up at the clock.
And I'm telling you, this is something. I remember having a conversation with you, Shohei. I bet I hadn't known you for a week. And I told you about watching practice last year and watching Carl Smith, the quarterback coach. He was the topic last year because he was coming from Seattle and spent so much time with Russell Wilson. And how's he going to do with Deshaun Watson? And I just watched in the individual periods at practice. And there's just no sense of urgency.
Built in practice.
Yeah, but like even one-on-one while everybody else was doing something else, Deshaun's going through like a script of what is going to be a 2-minute drive that day. And there it's just a walk down the field. It's just looking left and kind of giving a little gesture and looking right. There's no sense of urgency. There's no the body language is lackadaisical. And I remember right then I thought that's strange to me. Like that's the lack of sense of urgency in practice is strange to me. Maybe I'm just getting old, but because I came up when Peyton Manning was doing, looked like he was dancing behind the center when he was whether he was giving signs to change the play or he was giving dummy signs. Damn it, he was on it now. He was animated, and so I came up in that time. So the whole just kind of lackadaisical, going through the motions, the no sense of urgency. That in itself at the quarterback position is alarming in my opinion. But then in moments when, as you said, down 24-7 into the third quarter, You've got to get as many opportunities to score points as you possibly can, and you unknowingly the clock runs out.
It's unacceptable.
And then in the fourth quarter, there's the same lackadaisical approach, literally to where you're at the line of scrimmage, and you move the tight end from the right to the left, and it's like, what are we doing? Snap the ball. It's crazy to me the lack of urgency that's shown. And again, I do think part of that has to do with Tim Kelly and Bill O'Brien. So if we're going to have a conversation about those guys, yeah, it's their responsibility to get that instilled in their team. But
who's the great one?
But Deshaun, here's the deal. As a quarterback, show, it doesn't matter if you're playing for the Texans, for Clemson, or you're playing for your high school team, executing with a sense of urgency, and your body language is going to be contagious to the rest of the guys around you, and being aware of the clock. Those are all things that quarterbacks have to know. And I just, with Deshaun Watson, that's one thing that's bothered me from the jump, and it just it reared its head last night, and I just think it's inexcusable.
I think everybody took their leader's cue. One of my favorite movies, Remember the Titans. When my man said to him, he said, attitude is reflected by leadership, something like that. And they all followed suit. There's no way Troy Aikman would have walked over to that offensive line and said, Eric Williams, wake up. We all need to wake up. And he didn't. And they followed him. They followed him. All right. I see the phone lines are packed. 713-572-4610. But we do have to get to the alarming issue that it may not be solvable. We'll get to that coming up next.
Playing these little piddly-ass games.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right. We are in a very – I love Houston when it gets real passionate like this, baby. We are in a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Football Friday presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. We do have to get to this, and we'll get to your calls here in a bit, but we do have to get to this. That run defense, Clint, I don't know I don't know how much that is fixable. A lot of what we saw last night could be fixed with, like, hey, man, some guys had a bad night.
Yeah.
Some guys weren't ready, as you said. Some guys weren't maybe ready for an NFL game. But that run defense, that may be another conversation.
Yeah, there's a lot of what we saw the Texans struggle with last night that you can chalk up to no training camp and abbreviated live action and limited live action, no preseason. You can chalk a lot of things up to that. The sense of urgency issue with Deshaun Watson, I'm not willing to chalk that up to that. And the offense, it's not just Deshaun, it's the whole crew. But the second thing, or the thing on the defensive side of the football that I'm most concerned about, and I don't believe it's a product of all the abbreviated camp, and I don't believe it's something that you just fix by getting more live action, right? And that's the lack of the ability of this defensive front to stop the run. And that's from J.J. Watt to Whitney Mercilus to Bernardrick McKinney.
Oh.
All the way down the pipe. These guys were they got pushed around last night in the trenches. And look, I understand that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 25 carries, 138 yards, 5.5 yards per touch, and one touchdown. I understand he's a good player. But the number of times that he was 2 and 3 and 4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage before he was ever touched, before he was ever threatened to be touched, that was a problem. Stopping the run for the Houston Texans up front is going to be a problem. When it's guys like J.J. Watt, guys like Whitney Mercilus, all I've heard for 2 years now, look, I believe it to this point. Whitney Mercilus is great against the run. He's great. He's great setting the edge. Well, he wasn't great last night, and he wasn't great against a team that typically is a pass-happy football team. They pride themselves on being able to spin the ball around the park. That wasn't Baltimore. That wasn't Tennessee.
No.
That wasn't a team that 3 yards in a cloud of dust is what they work on every single day. Benardrick McKinney. I watched Benardrick McKinney.
Good God almighty.
He got pushed on a run at him by Travis Kelce. He got pushed 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. On a run at him, an outside run at him towards the boundary, Travis Kelce makes contact.
Which said, that ain't George Kittle coming your way.
No. No. It's Travis Kelce. And if Travis Kelce's criticized about anything, it's about his ability to run block, his want to in the run game. And he had Benardrick McKinney pushed 4 or 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and completely took Benardrick McKinney out of playing the run on that particular play. This is not something that you look 3 games in and you go, man, because these guys have had some live action, they've had a couple more weeks to practice and their legs are in better shape, man. They're going to come around. It was 7-7 in the second quarter when this was going down. This wasn't in the fourth quarter.
Those 16 play drives, those long drives. No, yeah, it was.
Chief, it was 7-7. Hell, it may have been the first quarter. I mean, it had to be the second quarter because Kansas City didn't tie that thing up until the second quarter, right? But nonetheless, I mean, it was early in the game. This wasn't about being tired, exhausted or fatigued or anything like that. This was about a tight end that is known to not even want to run block, putting a middle linebacker that is known, his specialty is playing the run, having him 4 to 5 yards pushed beyond the line of scrimmage, man. These are things that I just don't believe are fixed. I believe the timing, the chemistry on a lot of the stuff on offense can be fixed with live action, the coach realizing, damn it, we got some ground to make up. Let's get in practice and get to work. A lot of that stuff can be helped. A lot of that coverage stuff in the secondary, timing up some blitzes, figuring out Justin Reed probably is not going to be a good corner in this league. Those things can be worked out with another week of practice. Man, that run defense, just don't see how the progress that's necessary is made, especially when you got who coming down the pipe in 10 days?
You got the Baltimore Ravens, the best run team we've seen in a long time. About 4 different guys who can run the football.
Is that 200 yards a game rushing last year?
Something like that.
Is that a record?
I ain't even going to lie to you and act like I know off the top of my head, but it feels right.
I know.
Unless maybe Vince Lombardi's Packers really got after it back in the day, but it feels right.
Boy, that would be crazy. I mean, Vince Lombardi's Packers, but who was his running back?
Paul Hornung. That's all I got.
200 a game. Like, I just know at one point in time they were on the verge of being the only team to average 200 passing and average 200 running.
Yep.
Ever in NFL. I don't know what they ended up doing, but the most dominant running team in the league.
Yeah, over 200
is coming to Houston in 10 days, 9 days,
yep,
to be exact. And I'm concerned about the run defense. I look at it and I go, I don't know how it can be fixed in 10 days.
Here's the head coach Bill O'Brien talking about their issues with being able to contain the rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
First half, we had trouble stopping a run, and the time of possession was not good, which involves the offense too, but we got to play the run better, obviously. You know, Helaire, we knew he was a really good back. We had, scouted him and coming out of the draft and, very, very good back, and we had trouble with him tonight.
You're damn right they had trouble. By the way, I want to stop and say, hey, the hype on Clyde was real. That young man played his ass off. Now, I don't think the Texans were awful defensively, but he played his ass off. I mean, Justin Reed draws are still in Arrowhead Stadium.
They're sitting next to Benardrick McKinney's then.
God, yeah. Can we get to that real quick? We've talked about it all off seasons. Our concerns about 5-5. Clint, if he can't play in that game, if he can't play in the game where the Chiefs are going to just hand the ball off and run it. Because Anthony Weaver said, I'll be damned, you're not beating me over the top. I'm going to stick two safeties on the back the whole way, and you're facing our front 7. If Benardrick McKinney can't stop the – because that's the game he's there for. That's what he's there for. He's not there to be in coverage. He's not there to be getting that game. If he can't play in that one, Clint, I don't know why –
why he's on the field or where his spot is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't know. That may be the most surprising thing of the game last night. Well, really, it was this morning when I was in there rewatching the abbreviated version of the game, and I noticed that Travis Kelce, because Benardrick McKinney, you want to talk about dog? I mean, Benardrick McKinney's a guy that'll stick his helmet on the chin in a heartbeat. Like, you ain't pushing Benardrick McKinney around. I mean, and when I saw Travis Kelce, I was like, well, what the hell is going on? Like, how does that happen in the first half? Because, look, I've been down the road before, man. I've played the game. I've been around a defense that's had an 11-play drive and a 16-play drive, and man, they just struggled in the second half. They can't get off the field, man, and in the fourth quarter, they're just gassed. Man, this was in the first half. This wasn't fatigue was not an issue. That's just a mentality.
Yeah.
And I was so blown away with Benardrick McKinney. To me, strikes me as a guy that's like, you may whoop me, but you're going to be sore for a week.
Yeah, but Clint, if we're going to be honest, his ability now is not, it's what it's showing. His ability seems to leave him from being able to get a piece of you. I mean, he's just not being able to touch people, to hit them. I mean, there were multiple times Clyde Edwards had him in the hole. Or he had Clyde in the hole. It was the two of them. And he didn't get a hand on.
Yeah, that's a bad look, no doubt. I can understand that. I can't understand letting Travis Kelce push you 4 or 5 yards deep. Like I can't. Benardrick McKinney, that I've watched play, would have split Travis Kelce's chin the minute he tried to come downhill on him. I mean, that's just and instead you just take it. This is the part to me that I just don't know how you – I don't know how you fix that.
That's a tough fix right there. You can't fix him getting faster, fix him. And if that game he struggles in, like if next week he can't – he's not helpful in that game with those backs next week, Clint.
Yes.
Here's
the other thing. If Whitney Mercilus,
oh, hell, where was he at?
If Whitney Mercilus can't play the run the way that we've talked at and the way he has in the past, if the run defense isn't going to be any better than what it was yesterday, then how do you keep Jacob Martin off the field? Because you want to talk about a Texan on the defensive side of the ball that looked like he had been in Kansas City's training camp, Jacob Martin.
Him and P.J. Hall jumped.
Yeah,
off the line of scrimmage. Those two guys jump.
So if Whitney's not going to play the run, if the whole defense with Whitney on the field is not going to play the run better than that, how the hell do you justify keeping Jacob Martin from being on the field?
No, I hear you. Whitney, listen, at least Benardrick McKinney got himself in position to get his draw shook.
I like shaked.
At least Benardrick McKinney got himself in the position to get his draw shaked. Whitney just wasn't even anywhere around.
Nowhere. And you know, Whitney looks heavy-legged like he did late in the season last year when he played 24 games without J.J. Watt. I know he didn't play 24, but a ton of games without J.J. Watt. It was one of them, like, how do you – man, that was tough to watch. And the defense, like I said, man, there's a lot of things that you know, I know we'll get better with time, and I know we'll get better with reps, and there's no doubt about it. And I think this offense will be significantly better. But, man, that run defense, Minnesota's coming down the pipe.
Dalvin Cook.
Pittsburgh's coming down the pipe.
James Conner.
James Conner's great, but that offensive line?
Yeah.
Come on, man. I mean, Pittsburgh's had one of the better offensive lines that want to run the football that's nasty. They've had one of the better offensive lines that running the ball offensive lines for a long time, and they pride themselves on it. That's coming downhill. And, hell.
The Packers don't believe that Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback anymore, and they want to run it.
To me, that's the thing I'm most concerned about from
moving
last night.
Forward. Number not just one
thing. Number one thing last night that I'm concerned about moving forward. There's a lot of things that concern you that you ask, what in the hell have y'all been doing? Like, y'all get it together and get it right. Get on the same page with the receivers. Get all these issues ironed out and let's roll. That run defense, I just don't see how you fix it. There's no quick fix.
713-572-4610. Our guy Anthony, go ahead, man. What's your thoughts? Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, how y'all doing, gentlemen? I appreciate y'all for taking my call. Forgive me, I'm at work. But so here's what you was looking for. Attitude reflects leadership. That's what you're looking for. You quoted my favorite movie. I appreciate that. Now, Clint, as a quarterback, the way that he's sounding in that press conference and the way that he was lackadaisical on the field with no sense of urgency, who was going to follow that? Now, all that good stuff that Randall Cobb was talking about, yep, I think Deshaun Watson is the only way that's going to get me to the playoffs or the championship, this, that, and the third, cool. Thank you for saying it. Thanks for the kind words. But we have to see action behind that. Now, this season, I promise you, everybody is going to focus on Deshaun. We got Bill O'Brien out the way already. He done heard our rap. So now we know that Bill is incompetent of leading this team. So like we're saying, this is Deshaun's team. So now that we're all paying attention to Deshaun, you're going to get a lot more calls. You're going to hear a lot more on TV saying the incompetence of Deshaun if he does not step up, lead this team, and do what he did last year to at least show a little effort, because he did not show any last night. No sense of urgency. I cannot believe that he ran to the sideline and joked with the person who's put his foot in his neck.
I don't get it.
In front of the whole world.
I don't get
twice.
It.
Twice.
I'm with
twice.
You.
Twice. Twice. Twice.
Let it out, man. Just let it out. You needed to get that out, Anthony. I appreciate it. I don't get that, Doug. I don't get that part.
And I don't understand that. Like, all I can do is reflect back on my time. Like, when I'm out of bounds, my immediate thought goes, get my eyes back on my play caller and get the signal for the next play. Because if he's winding up for red ball, if he's winding up for tempo offense, I need to see. Not Cadillac over there all the way to the bench, sit down. Look at, smile, pat on the leg, get up, jog off, look back, smile. Like, to me, that's just one of them deals. Like, I'm surprised that week one in a season where Deshaun Watson is the guy to take over the organization, I'm surprised that that's what we saw.
No, and especially against that team, as Anthony said, man, that dude has the crown. That's what you're trying to get. And as I said, man, I'm not going to disrespect the greatness of Deshaun Watson. I'm not going to. And I'm going to treat him as a great player. And great players, especially great players who have the second biggest contract in the history of the sport. Nah, baby, you don't get passes like that. Your team come out like that, that's you. All right, man, Clint, we've been doing this all week. And it's the best thing that we're going to do, right? This is the final day of our effort to try to get to $100,000. We've been partnering here at Sports Radio 610 with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and At Home, or And My Home Library Program. All right, we need you guys to continue here on Friday to jump up and help us out so we can get books for these kids, these underprivileged kids in the Houston area. 60%, folks, listen to this, 60% of Houston kids enter kindergarten without the reading skills needed to succeed. Let's try and help to change those statistics. All right, these kids need your help. Text HTX Reads to 41444 to contribute. That's HTX Reads to 41444 to contribute here. $30 is what we suggest, because that will be able to get these kids' ability to choose 6 books. But, hell, give us more. Please, or less, whatever you can give. Special thanks to South Fork, Chrysler Dodge, Jim Adler, McGree Ford, Phillip 66, all these amazing people, and all of you that have contributed donations to this, and we hope that you continue to try to support this. Today is the last day, and let's try to get to this goal of $100,000.
Show, we're making a run now. We're making a run. We need everybody to make a push to get to that 100,000. And it's our afternoon show. We're making a run at O'Shawn Pendergast and Seth Payne now.
That's right.
It's neck and neck, and they're done for the week. We got 3 hours that we can make up ground on these boys and take the lead. HTX Reads to 41444. Do it for the kids, and hell, do it for me and O'Show, man. We need a little shot in the arm here, man.
You see that? See that? That's our quarterback. Come on, Tyler. We got to follow suit. You know, our quarterback jumped in right there. Now we got to follow. See, if he came in and said, come on, y'all, we want to beat Sean Pendergast. I'm coming. No, he's coming in. I'm out.
I'm ready. Let's go. Losing ain't an option, baby.
Let's go. Text HTX Reads to 41444. All right, coming up, the stories you need to know, Houston, the Big 3 at 3 coming up next.
Don't be a knucklehead.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.